are new casting changes for the Amazing Spider-Man sequel leading in the direction of that franchise becoming the next Avengers, or the closest thing to the Avengers. My name is Eric Davis. I am a contributing editor here at Fandango, and joining me this week again is Sean O'Connell, who is also a contributor here at Fandango, and I think the biggest Spider-Man nerd working at Fandango. What's up, Sean?
What's up, Eric? Hey, listen, we both went on the record saying that we liked what Mark Webb was doing in the first one, and we were a vocal minority, but I think we both really enjoyed the direction that the franchise sort of set itself up to go, and I'm really excited by the people that they're adding.
Yeah, we were really big fans of the Amazing Spider-Man. And for me, I think it was the emotional weight of that film. I just really felt like Webb kind of zeroed in on the emotions of teenagers and the characters, and the cast is just really good. Though one thing about this franchise, as it continues to grow, is the casting, and whoever is in charge of casting these sequels and the first one is doing a bang up job. And that continues with the sequel. Big news this week is that Chris Cooper has been cast as Norman Osborn. And you and I have been talking about the fact that they're expanding this universe. I think with this second film is going to set up a big universe that could lead to spin-off films.
Right. Well, they've talked about potentially doing a Venom standalone film. They've talked about maybe bringing in Spider-Man's, you know, has a growing nemesis team that he fights against called the Sinister Six, which I think could be in play with all the characters that they're introducing. But the thing that stands out to me are the people that they're getting for these roles, because I don't think that you hire people like Paul Giamatti, who has been linked to the character of the Rhino, or Jamie Foxx. I mean, these are Oscar winners. Chris Cooper, an Oscar winner. These are not people that you get to just use them, you know, briefly in one sequel where you're cramming them all together. So when I hear that they're bringing somebody on board like Chris Cooper, it sort of feeds into this theory that I've had that Sony and Mark Webb or whoever else may come on board after he directs are trying to lay the groundwork much the same way that Marvel did with the Iron Man movie, Captain America, and Thor movies to build towards an Avengers, is they would like to see a multi-film Spider-Man universe where you have these character actors in place that you can pull them in when needed. With Chris Cooper, what I'd really like to know is how many pictures he has been signed on for, because you could drag Norman's story out over the course of several films where he starts off as a benevolent type of mentor to Peter Parker and probably has some ties to Richard Parker's research, this genetic research that led to the creation of Spider-Man, led to the creation of the Lizard, led to what I believe is going to be the creation of the Rhino and Electro in these upcoming sequels. And then eventually Norman's going to have to turn into the Green Goblin, probably because of the serum that they're developing at Oscorp and probably because he wants to cure this illness that was hinted at in the first movie but wasn't really elaborated past that point. I just think when they're hiring people like Chris Cooper and Giamatti and Jamie Foxx, you're going to use them for the long term. I don't think – we've heard a lot of fans say that they're concerned that it's becoming a Spider-Man 3 type problem where there's too many villains vying for screen time. I don't think that's the intention. I think Mark Webb and Sony want to spread this out.
Yeah, I think that's the big concern right now, is that everybody is saying there's – you know, who doesn't turn into a villain in Peter Parker's life, I think, except for
Aunt May doesn't.
Aunt May doesn't, and his girlfriends usually do not, but they do unfortunately run into some complications, at least
well,
one
we
of
have,
them does.
We have Dane DeHaan is on as Harry Osborn, you know, and we know that he's going to be Peter's best friend. Like you mentioned, the girlfriends. We still have Emma Stone, who's playing Gwen Stacy, who, as everyone knows, dies at the hands of the Goblin. But they also brought in Shailene Woodley to play Mary Jane Watson. And they also want to bring who's the girl? Felicity Jones, right, exactly.
Yeah.
Who is rumored to maybe be playing Felicia Hardy. All of these – they're populating the universe basically, and they're populating them with really, really good actors.
But you have to understand that, yes, they could have some really great ideas of where to take this franchise after this second film. And I think this second film is going to be the pivotal movie in this franchise.
Sure.
Everybody talks about Spider-Man 2, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 2, being one of the best comic book movies ever made. Here we go with The Amazing Spider-Man 2, and it seems like they're trying to set this up to be a game changer, at least in this franchise.
Right.
Now, when you do that, it's dangerous, because yes, we have a lot of characters that they're setting up, but there's still that still means they're having a lot of characters that they're setting up.
Right, right.
You know, whether or not, you know, I think they've learned from their Spider-Man 3 mistakes, but they're still attempting to pull off some stuff that's pretty heavy. You know, I mean, not only do you have Electro and the Rhino and Dane DeHaan, who I think may have a Venom connection. They may go that way with his storyline,
which would be awesome, by the way.
And his father Norman Osborn, and then we have all of those guys circling and becoming villains, and then we could have a potentially three women that are in Peter Parker's life, from Emma Stone's, Gwen Stacy, to Mary Jane Watson, Shailene Woodley. We're already seeing some set photos of her showing up, and now Felicia Hardy, played by Felicity Jones, who's Black Cat, and I really think that she is going to be Black Cat. I would bet money that she's going to be Black Cat in this, and that she's going to be Peter Parker, sort of looking at her as a relatable secret identity sort of thing with her. But,
and don't you just think, though, that studios have new confidence in these specifically superhero-driven cinematic universes? Marvel sort of – they sort of destroyed the formula and, you know, relaid out a new blueprint at the same time, that if you take the time, you know, and you do it properly, because we keep seeing Warner Brothers trying to get, you know, Justice League of America off the ground, but they seem to be rushing it. Or I mean, now they're waiting to see how Man of Steel plays, and I understand that. But I think maybe Sony saw how The Amazing Spider-Man played, and it did very well worldwide. It didn't make – domestically, it didn't do as well as the Raimi films, but Spider-Man's a property that has such worldwide potential that I think they kind of said, people are always going to respond to this character. People are going to turn out. So let's take the time to build it properly.
Yeah, well, and I also wouldn't be surprised if they're trying to maybe talk about getting Spider-Man into the Avengers too. And that would be very interesting too, if these studios were able to talk and they were able to get Spider-Man into the Avengers too and sort of build his universe to where that would make sense. It would be really interesting as well.
Well, everybody's just getting more courageous. Like Fox is getting more courageous with the X-Men, you know, and they are bringing Fantastic Four back around. And if Spider-Man can't get into the Avengers, if he can't get into the Marvel side with Marvel and Disney, there's always the chance for crossovers with Fantastic Four, or you could drop him into a Wolverine movie or something. There's so much potential with the Marvel character.
Yeah, it's funny. I look at this sort of resurgence, this new way of thinking, because of the Avengers and what they did to set up that movie. It's almost like they're the iPhone version of these new superhero movies. And now Spider-Man is the Samsung Galaxy. And, you know,
right.
So it's – they're all going to try to do what the Avengers did with these other superhero franchises, but they're going to do them a little bit differently. And we're seeing that now with Spider-Man, where they're going to clog this second movie with all of these characters, some of which may spin off into their own movies if Dane DeHaan goes and becomes Venom, and then he has his own movie. And, you know, they could kind of drop in these characters, but then they could have a little scene and they can come back in part three and be bigger. So it just puts more pressure on Mark Webb, more pressure on The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Right now, on paper, it's exciting.
Right, right.
Yes, you have that trepidation because of Spider-Man 3, but you like to think that they've learned from their mistakes and that they're watching the Avengers and saying, you know, we want to do this. But, you know, it's also – the Avengers also had a solo film, a solo film, a solo film, a solo film, big ensemble film. And then they're going back, solo film, solo film. So Amazing Spider-Man – here's all your characters in one film, and then let's go from there. I'm curious to see if it works. It's a lot of pressure on Mark Webb to deliver something. I hope it works. I think it's going to work. What do you think?
Well, I think it's going to work. But you're exactly right about this second one is really, really pivotal. It feels like they're moving the pieces around the chessboard properly. To me, casting is very, very important. Of course, scripting is almost, you know, a little bit more important than that. But, you know, if you hire the right people, you hope that they can make the most of what they're given in the script. And I think Chris Cooper, Paul Giamatti, these are names that you put a lot of trust in. This is a franchise that started with Martin Sheen and Sally Field, you know, in pivotal roles. So Mark Webb has had a really good nose for casting right off the bat. And I think those people really helped make that mythology feel fresh and new, especially Sheen, who I thought did an amazing job as Uncle Ben. But if the second one is a muddled mess, you know, then Sony shot themselves in the foot right off the bat, because people won't want to get excited about the potential of where this franchise can go, no matter who you put in these roles. So you're right. The second one is very, very pivotal. Right now, I love the casting.
Yes.
I love what they've done so far.
I agree. I love the casting. I think, in my opinion, the most important part to get right in this second Spider-Man movie is the villain, your main villain, and Spider-Man's confrontations with this main villain. I have no qualms that Mark Webb will be able to spin an emotional web when it comes to the romances and the relationships that Peter Parker forms with Mary Jane Watson and continues with Gwen Stacy, and if Felicia Hardy is a character. I have no qualms that he knows what he's doing in that respect. When people did come down on the first film, they did come down on the villain. So I think the villain or whoever, what they do with the villains in this movie will be the most important part in terms of this movie succeeding. What is your most important part?
It's the action. Yeah, it's going to be how Mark Webb handles the villains and how he juggles how much screen time they're going to get. I think we're going to know pretty early on whether people are being brought in for future use. Like, that's my big concern. Like, I don't want to see too many storylines vying for screen time in part two. I really hope that they have the patience to continue to lay the groundwork in the ways that they did with the first one. People who complained about the first one complained about a lot of storylines that were left dangling. And I understand that frustration, and I don't want to see more storylines kind of left dangling. I think a couple of things need to be resolved, but I do want to see how he uses the villains. You're right. That is the most important key, because you hired Webb for his ability to handle the relationships between the characters, and I thought that was his strongest element in the first movie. I think that will continue to be his strongest element. But Peter needs a motivation. He needs a motivation to be fighting against these different people. It can't just be because, you know, well, this is Spider-Man and he has to fight the Rhino. We want some sort of behind-the-scenes work that makes us care about these characters.
I agree. May 4th, 2014, I believe that's the date, The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Doesn't have a title yet. Kind of hoping they don't stick with The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
I agree.
But we'll see what they call it. You know, it's taken over. Well, it's not taken over. They've had this spot before, but it's the big Marvel spot. They have the big early May Marvel spot in 2014. It's shooting now. They're all over New York City. The set photos are all over the place.
Dude, they'll be at Comic-Con, don't you think? Do you think they'll bring something big?
They will be at Comic-Con. I have no doubt they'll be at Comic-Con. It'll be interesting to see what they bring. It'll also be interesting to see what they release. They've released an image of the Spider-Man costume because they knew that just like the last film, this film was all over New York City. They are snapping shots up left and right. I'm curious to see if Sony, Columbia Pictures gets ahead of that and starts releasing some character posters or something to combat against all of these set photos. I would suggest don't really look at the set photos. Stick with the studio release stuff and enjoy. We'll see how it goes. Sean, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And we're looking forward to The Amazing Spider-Man 2. We'll be covering it for more than a year. Thanks very much, Fawn.
Sure. All right, man. Take care.